The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday, which means it's excellent time in the Word of God and in the Book of Ephesians. We start off by recognizing that there are some things and some people that we should be connected to, and other things and other people, not so much. Also, next we examine when secrets, get this one, should just stay secrets. That's funny. And finally, we rightly handle the light so that we are not handled by the dark.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Good idea. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can send us a text. I want to say something that's really funny. Bear with me. We do a replay of this show. I don't think the person heard that it's supposed to be a text. We do a replay of the show like at 1 or 2 in the morning. They called at 1 or 2 in the morning to answer the trivia. Let's try and keep it somewhere there between the 9 o'clockies kind of thing. Anyway, our number, 214-210-8483. I want to say if that person's listening, God bless you. I'm glad you did it anyway. 214-210-8483. How long did the Israelites wander through the wilderness? Text to 214-210-8483 if you think you know. If not, we will address it towards the end of this first segment. Keep in mind, you can share praise reports or prayer requests, ask questions, do whatever. It's pretty much open, simple, because it's not professional radio. Folks, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. I have to start off with news that's a little bit of a bummer. It's not bad news, and we try to do our best to live in the good news, but it's a little bit of a bummer news. We were going to try and get into the studio on Monday, but after the owner of the station consulted with some other people, and he's got multiple stations, they work with like 26 or 30 stations or whatever, they've decided to wait one extra week. So you will have one extra week of Dave on radio. I will still do my best to give you my best. But we will not be in the studio on Monday the 11th. We are now targeting at about 85% for being on the studio on the 18th. So you can be in prayer for us. That would be cool if you do that. All right, couple things to cover on today. Keep in mind that we are operating in DNA, Christian DNA. Draw closer to the Lord is the D. N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready. Why are these three things important? One, we should always be drawing closer to the Lord. You cannot get close enough to the Lord. Between now and the time you're dancing on streets of gold, you can always get closer. Draw close to the Lord. Then the second thing is the N, never be ashamed. Never, ever be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you. Don't be ashamed of Jesus and his truth, even if the world doesn't like it. Here's a really good word to learn about that. Tough. You want to follow what the Lord has in front of you. And then the other thing, next to the D and next to the N is the A. Always be ready. Always be ready. Maybe it's a moment of prayer. Maybe it's a smile. Maybe it's something that you text. Maybe it's an email. Maybe it's a Facebook post. Maybe it's a like. Maybe it's this. Maybe that. I don't know. Whatever it is, just always be ready. Maybe it's a full-blown opportunity to share with somebody what God has done in your life. Whatever it is, always be ready. Just that simple, okay? DNA. Draw closer to the Lord. Never be ashamed. Always be ready. Okay, taking a deep breath. I want people to know, do you have that trivia question on the board? We will answer it at the end. Pretty simple one. How long did the Israelites wander through the wilderness? If you grew up in a Jewish home, you would understand this. My parents, my mom specifically, would say if they turned left instead of right, they'd have got the oil. Anyway, that's kind of how I grew up, so you can know what's going on. 214-210-8483 is where you want to text. A couple things I want to tell you about today. It's National Day of Prayer, and I don't think there's any reason for anybody anywhere to be thinking any less of spending time in prayer. If you can't cut out 5 minutes for God during this day, it's on you, not God. Second, it's Make a Book Day. I wrote a book. I'll be honest, it's terrible. It's awful. But I wrote one. I mean, that's good. Now they have the fill in the gaps book where you can just put in like 6 words and it writes 1,000 words for you. Make a book. Make a book and tell somebody you love them. That's what my wife did for me. She actually wrote a little I love you book, and she just inserted my name and a couple of personal things, and it was one of the best gifts I ever received in my life. It's also National Roast Leg of Lamb Day, which for me sounds good because I didn't eat lunch and I'm hungry. Finally, it's World Password Day, so for those of you out there that are older than 20, I will remind you that you should not use the word password as your password, nor should you use 123, nor should you use 1234, nor should you use 12345. Just being nice about it. Just think of it in those terms. Other couple things I want to tell you, then we're going to get into our teach on this day in 1824. Beethoven's Ninth Symphony premiered in Vienna in 1824 on May 7th. Also on this day, 1847, the American Medical Association was founded. And then finally in 1998, Apple Computer unveiled the iMac. So if you're an Apple person, you're like going, all right, I like it. I like it. All right. All right. So just a heads up again, we were going to go into the studio on the 11th. It's been delayed 1 week, but that's okay. It'll just make it that much sweeter. And you know how much I appreciate everybody's love and support. Let's get ready. This is my hint to Tierra. As we go into expository teaching.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
Yeah, that's all I can say. Wow! Wow! I love it. Okay, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. We're just going to cover 10 for a second because I came across something new that I had not known, so I thought it was really cool. So, not a big deal. Here's what we got going on. Verse 10 in Ephesians chapter 5 says this, and find out what pleases the Lord and have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. That's why it said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So we talked about this last Thursday, and I just kind of want to hit on this again because there's something I came across in verse 10. We talked about find out what pleases the Lord. And so I decided to do a little bit of an extra study, and a lot of this comes from an expository commentary. And this is what it said. It's very interesting. It said the verb finding out, find out what the will of the Lord is, the verb has to do with testing metals so that you can discover by examination, you can verify by examination, or you can approve by examination. Now, why that's important is I thought that was fascinating, that there are things in our lives where the Lord wants us to find out what His will is, and even in the way it's spoken in the Greek, it's like we need to test it, we need to verify it, we need to examine it, kind of the same word that's used in 1 Timothy 3:10, and this is what the author wrote, and I want to give them credit for this to the expository editors. It says, those who live as children in the light will continually be endeavoring to ascertain what the will of God is in every situation, so that they, that in all things we may do what satisfies Him. And what I thought was cool about that statement and how they projected it is what they're saying about finding out what the will of the God is that there's an examination process. You can hear things that are available to you in life, and you can think that's fantastic. And the Lord may allow you to go that direction, but there is a genuine examination that you and I need to have in every situation to get some sense of verification, approval, or something from the Lord that says, yep, this is me. And we're not given permission, we're commanded. It's not a permission. Hey, think about this. Maybe you can consider possibly just wondering what the finding out what pleases the Lord. It says, hey, find out what pleases the Lord. And you do that by examination. And the fact that that comes from a word that talks about testing metals to find out the authenticity and the verification of it tells you we need to be in an active part of engaging with God in every situation. And why this came to mind and why I thought it was so impressive is I have encountered situations that are extremely similar. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say you probably have too. It doesn't necessitate that my response in every situation is the exact same. I need to verify that. I need to examine every situation. I need to look at everything to at least make sure this is what the Lord wants. Because I could be at a fork in a road and the Lord can say, go left. I could be at another fork of the road and the Lord may say, go right. You don't just do it based on what happened in the past. Every situation gets reviewed before the Lord so that the best that we can do, and we recognize we fail at this, but we ascertain to get there, the best we can do is do the will of God in every circumstance that we encounter. If you fail at it, which I think I have four or five million times, there is grace and there is mercy and there's forgiveness and it's not catching God by surprise. What there is also, though, is this call for us to engage with God in everything we go to so that it's a partnership. Because if you haven't learned this by now, everything we do in the Christian walk is in partnership with God. Now, how cool is that? That is totally cool. All right, we're going to take our break. By the way, the answer to the trivia question, 40 years. Everybody got that right. You're all smarter than I am. I know. But we're going to take a break and come back and dive a little deeper into the Word. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We'll be right back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here.
Absolutely.
In the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach out to us, 214-210-8483. That's the number you got to text. Listen to what I said. That's the number you got to text. You got to text that number. Let me give you the next trivia question. We got four of them for today, so here's number two. How many pairs of each clean animal did Noah need to take on the ark? How many pairs of each clean animal did Noah take on the ark? If you know that answer, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. As you know, on expository days, we don't typically talk about our ministry partners, so I just want to briefly mention them so that you know that we keep them fresh in mind. Don't forget Mr. Restore and Clint in regards to any fire and water damage cleanup, sewage removals, anything that's going on, they can help you. You can get them to them directly off our site, as well as Kimberly Ellis. You can talk to her directly. You can call her at 903-48-HOMES, or you can contact her directly from our website. She's for any questions you might have from a real estate point of view. She's the one. She works with Fathom Realty and does a fantastic job. And I did get a text today and last night from our good friend Johnny Hill from Men of God Moving. Want to hear something really cool? That's like, this is the best thing you ever hear when you're doing ministry and radio. Three people who listened to this show got in touch with Johnny for moving needs. Isn't that cool? I mean, that's just awesome. I love stuff like that. So, anyway, bottom line, I do want you to be aware about HeMustIncrease.org. HeMustIncrease.org. That's where you can get in touch with Eric, get in touch with Kimberly, get in touch with Johnny, because we have a direct link that goes for where it says Best Ministry Partners Ever. Plus, I did some rearranging on the site yesterday. You'll see our new National Association of Broadcasters connection there, which we are officially as of yesterday. Also, there is a testimony, there's video, there's audio, and there's opportunity to give, which I would encourage you to. We're strong believers in what you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. What you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. But we would never, ever want to be that guilt kind of ministry, okay? I grew up with a Jewish mom. Do you know how much guilt I went through? That's probably one of the reasons I became a Christian. Here's what I want you to do. If you can give and participate, if you're a giver and you're participating, fantastic. If you can't, commit to pray for us. That's all I'm asking. All I'm asking out of anybody. And we ask you, you would just keep us in your prayers. We just believe that in partnership with God, anything can be accomplished. The email, by the way, to get a hold of us, david@hemustincrease.org. david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. And YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now I want you to take a deep breath, because as we continue our expository teaching, this stuff gets a little tougher, because the book of Ephesians has a lot of lifting up, a lot of encouragement, a lot of calls to unity, and a lot of requirements of behavior. Keep in mind that chapter 1, 2, and 3 in Ephesians talks about our position in Christ. Chapter 4, 5, and 6 talks about our practice in Christ. And chapter 5 is the toughest of all the chapters, and this portion that we're in is the toughest portion in regards to what Paul requires of us. And you think, well, that just sounds heavy duty. What is heavy duty? That's why he says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. The first thing that we should pull when you read something like that, because people get really legalistic or people ignore this completely, which is not, you don't want to do either one of those things. But the one thing we should be aware of is Paul is telling us to not be connected to that which is useless. Listen to me. There are things in the world that you get to enjoy that are not necessarily flesh-based. They're not anti-God. They're not necessarily pro-God. They're kind of in that neutral territory. Eating a pastrami sandwich for you is probably neutral. For me, it's a little closer to heaven. The idea is that some things don't matter, some things aren't called into that light darkness. But there are several things in the world, several things around you, several things that affect you that are, in fact, connected to darkness. And being connected to that in any fashion is, in a strong sense, being connected to that which is useless. And we have to be aware of that. We have to be aware that you don't want to be, it's one thing to be in the world in the sense of that we function in the world and we live in the world. It's another thing to be of the world in regards to our mindset and our lives. Paul is very clear, especially when he talks about like the weapons of our warfare, in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, you really take a strong examination of that text in every single translation there is in the world. He talks about the reality that we are not of the flesh, the worldly flesh, but the weapons of our warfare are not of flesh. We have to fight in the world, but we are not fighting with the world in the sense of being a part of the world. You're fighting against distortion of truth. You're fighting against lies. You're fighting against the pride of man. You're fighting against the establishment of the kingdom of men. You're fighting against sexuality that's poured out on every television and movie and internet screen there is in the world, trying to justify unjustifiable behavior. And the scripture is telling us, don't be connected to that. You could almost make a case that some people who watch certain television shows do so simply to feed their flesh. And it's like, yeah, you shouldn't do that. Now, I'm not sitting there trying to come into some legalistic mindset. I'm trying to tell you there's some things we connect to that are useless. And Scripture says, don't connect to those. You should expose that. You should say, hey, that's not right. That's a bad thing. I almost want to do that with the media. I can't fully. I almost want to do it, though, because of some of the ridiculous news things you hear. So for those that have never heard this before, about 6 years ago, I came up with this acronym. Yes, it's original. Yes, I did all the research on it. Nobody came up with it, but since then it's been used. It stands for this. It's MEDIA. MEDIA stands for Making Everyone Dumber in America. That's what the media stands for. And you think, well, why is that? And it's because it's sinful man trying to promote sinful agendas. And it's like, well, that ain't going to be good no matter what. But in all these other levels of entertainment, you know, it's one thing that you might watch a baseball game. It's another thing if that baseball game watching becomes more important than you working, or that becomes an opportunity for you to live a licentious life, or that becomes an opportunity for you to be more lazy, and then there's a justification process. All of that you have to be honest about. I have to be honest about. And we're told, don't be connected to useless stuff. You got to expose. You got to show what it is. You got to tell the truth about it. So there's a commentary. I use, for those that don't know, I use a lot of Bible Hub because they use multiple commentaries and multiple Greeks and so on and so forth. But I thought there was an excellent comment made, and I wanted to go off and discuss it just briefly. And I think Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown also has this. It says that we are supposed to be, now listen, it uses this specifically. In the phrasing, it says, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. The commentary says that does not say the people. It says the deeds. And why that's important is because some people have taken this text and said, we're not going to have any connection to anything going on with anybody in the world. But that's not what it says. What it says is, don't be connected to those deeds of darkness. Paul's not advocating a Pharisaical separatism. Okay, that's ridiculous. The followers of Christ are going to go where our master leads us and where we're guided to. But that doesn't mean we withdraw from the world in the sense that we have no connection. Jesus was accused of being a friend of the sinners and of the drunkards. You got some Christians now, they could never be accused of that. That's not a compliment. That's terrible. That we could never. It's like, what do you mean you can never? You can't be accused of being a friend of the sinners and of the drunkards. No. I'd never let any of that around me. Wow, you're better than Jesus. Then, I mean, that's the response. So what I'm trying to say in that is, it's one thing to make sure that we separate from those deeds and from those from those formulas that try and get us to be worldly. It's like you got to separate from that stuff, right? But you don't withdraw from the world to the point where you're there, you can never be a witness to the world. This is the whole point of this next verse, is it's impossible to be a light if you've never seen any darkness anywhere. It's impossible to be a light amongst people who are in darkness if you never say hello to one. And that's part of the problem. One of the biggest problems I actually have in Christianity from time to time, which I understand it, but I have a problem where people talk about, well, you know, I don't ever want to talk to those people. It's like, we're told to go into the highways and byways and make declaration of the truth. Most Christians can't get out of their driveways, let alone the highways and byways. I was like, maybe we should do better than that. It's one thing to expose those deeds of darkness. It's another thing to completely withdraw. And by the way, when we're going to talk about this in the next segment, when we're talking about exposing deeds of darkness, I mean, we're just being honest. Like, look, that's bad. That's a bad thing. That does not glorify God. Don't support that. But you're not trying to trash every person. You're trying to acknowledge that those deeds are deeds that are darkness and lead to nothing that can connect you or help you with God. It's like, all right, be honest. All right. Tough text, huh? All right, we're going to take a break and come back. By the way, the answer to the question, how many pairs of each clean animal? No, it takes seven pairs. So the people that responded, I just want to point out Eric and Joy, good job. Excellent work. We're going to take a break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-484-6637. 503-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I want to let you know, if you want to reach out to us, 214-210-8483, 214-210-8483 by text. I said by text. So you got to text. If you've never learned how to text, this is probably the best place to learn how to do it. We are going to offer up the next trivia question. I told you there before. Here we go. I'm going to keep this one. It's a little harder, not too much harder. Who demanded John the Baptist's head on a platter? Who demanded John the Baptist's head on a platter? So, you know, if that was in a Jewish home, they'd say it has to be a silver platter. Who demanded John the Baptist's head on a platter? 214-210-8483. If you can text and answer that question, that'd be great. Website, hemustincrease.org. 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 Quick reminder on two things. One, we are now a member of the National Association of Broadcasters. You might think well, that's not that big deal. It is to me, in the sense that there are other resources that we can now use as a nonprofit ministry. We've opened up the door for those resources, and we will take advantage as the Lord opens them up. And then number two, as opposed to us being back in the studio on Monday, we won't be back in the studio until the following Monday, so the 18th is our goal, for those that do not know. Again, our question, who demanded John the Baptist's head on a platter? If you know, text the 214-210-8483. Email, by the way, David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, and YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. As I had mentioned before, as we are going through this text, we are in the heart, probably, I think, one of the most difficult portions of text in Ephesians to talk about from a pulpit, from a platform, from a teaching point of view, simply because these are the three or four verses where you read it and you go, yowza. So we talked about verse 10, what find out what pleases the Lord, and we drew that conclusion, looked at that Greek word, and understood that that's a testing of the metal, that word, to find out. It's actually dokimazontes, and that's the Greek word to test it, and to test like metal. And that's something that we learned. You got to continually examine, make sure each and every situation that it is approved by the Lord. Okay, got that. And then the next thing we talked about is verse 11, have nothing to do with the fruitful deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Don't be connected to what's useless, but keep in mind it says deeds and not people, but rather expose them. You got to show what's going on when it's taking place, but you don't want to withdraw from the world because that's not the way to do it. Verse 12 is the next verse, and it's not an easy verse. And it's not meant to be an easy verse. This is what Paul's challenging everybody on. He says, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. And then Paul's like, look, it's even a shame. What these people are doing, what's amazing is that there is, in a sense, in the world, a strong glorification for sinful behavior. If you're not sure where that comes from, I challenge you to go into Romans chapter 1, where Paul, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, as he's writing the verbal plenary process, demonstrates that people that do sinful things are not only in trouble with God, but those who encourage and support others to do those sinful things are also in trouble and going to find the judgment of God. Because there's this part where in everybody's life, there's things that are shameful that the world is doing that they're glorifying in. One of the greatest testimonies, oh, I got to be careful how I say this, but one of my very dear friends would ask me, we'd talk theologically every day, and this dear friend of mine passed away suddenly about a year and a half ago, maybe about closer to 2 years ago. And in one of our conversations, he said to me, Dave, he said, there's times where I say things, I do things, and I think things, and I know they're wrong. I know they're wrong, and I know it's sinful, and I'm really sorry about it, and I just don't want it to be something that disqualifies me, even though I struggle, and I asked God to help me with it. And I told him, I won't tell you the guy's name, but I told him, I said, the fact that you care at all, the fact that you are even concerned, the fact that you're not glorifying in your rebellion, the fact that you are looking at that and see it as shameful is an evidence of your salvation. Because only people who are in the kingdom of God, touched by the cross of Jesus Christ, acknowledging, receiving, accepting, saying yes, submitting to the testimony of God in regards to the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, and having the Holy Spirit influence their lives, only people who are genuinely kingdom people care. Nobody else cares. The world doesn't care. It's shameful to even talk about what they do. Are you kidding? The world puts on productions, movies, plays, they write novels, they write it on the wall, as much stuff as they can come up with, and they promote their shameful behavior. I was like, we shouldn't even be connected to that. And the truth of the matter is, we don't even want to have that stuff around it. We don't want it to rub off on us. I'm not trying to tell you that you've got to be Puritan Polly. Okay, and I think some Christians have lost their minds. I mean, you say the word sex, and they start freaking out. It's like, well, you got to say the phrase lovemaking. Okay, where does it exactly say that? In fact, the phrase that's used in the Bible is know them. Why is everybody using that term? But anyway, the idea is that God's the one that created that. He's the one that created procreation. He's the one that created it's fun. He's the one that somebody write Song of Solomon. Seriously, you ever read the book? Seriously. Don't seriously. That's a reference to Jesus. Really? Really? I don't mind that as a secondary interpretation. It's just not genuine. I mean, this is about a man and a woman, and they like each other. Guess what? That's a part of living. And so some of that stuff's great. But what the world has done is they've taken something that's beautiful, that's great, and they've just perverted it. And then they've put the perversion up, and they put spotlights around it, and they go, isn't it fantastic? And it's like, we should be like, what is wrong with you people? I mean, you just got a lot of darkness. It's just terrible. And sometimes sin can be publicized so much so that the reaction from people is it's shameful. That the way they respond to it, they support it. And there's something that a commentator wrote, said this: it's shameful, the ugly vices that could possibly rub off on Christians if Christians continually talk about it and continually indulge in conversation with it and in thinking about it, and then it could rub off on you. And what he's saying is if you sit there and talk about darkness and dark deeds, some of that's going to drip off on you and land on your clothes. And it's like, don't do that. You shouldn't be talking about that. And let me just say this so that people understand how deep and how serious this runs. Mankind was told not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the middle of a garden, but we did. And there are some great things that mankind has developed, and you cannot deny that the part of man that's in the image of God with the good knowledge has created great things. Medicine is a great thing. But there is also 10,000 new ways to kill somebody, 10,000 new ways to pervert, 10,000 new ways to rebel, 10,000 new ways to be a jerk. And it's like, well, wait a minute, that's the bad part. And Christians ought not to even engage. They ought to just go, yeah, I'm not interested. There are some shows, so I'll give you a try not to be legalistic, but I'm trying to help, okay? My wife and I watch shows together. We do everything together, but there's a couple of shows there is. Now, it doesn't bother me if it's a sitcom and you know, some of it doesn't bug me because my faith is so strong, I could care less. I watch it more for the amusement. But we did notice about 15 years ago that we were watching more dark themes than we thought was necessary, or that we started to feel like kind of like yucky about it. So we stopped watching shows that are dark themed. In the sense that we stopped watching murder shows that are all about murders and the psychology of the mind, and we thought, that's really not helpful for us, and that it kind of drips, and we probably shouldn't. So we don't. We cut it out. And that's what the world glorifies. And it's like, we don't need to glorify that. I don't need to be a part of that. They can jump up and down all they want. They can celebrate their sin till they're blue in the face. I choose to take my sin and drop it at the cross of Jesus Christ and pray for forgiveness and strength, the ability not just to overcome, but to remove it from my existence. And because I want that and desire that, it kind of testifies to me who I am and whose I am. And no, none of this stuff's easy. I know the church, I don't like sometimes, some churches do a much better job than others, but I don't like the way they talk about it. It's like they don't want to talk about sin. Dude. It's a congregation of people that knows they're going through trouble. Tell them, stop rubbing up against stuff like that. Stop talking about that. Stop letting that kind of appetite get in your mind so it doesn't drip on you and make you feel horrible. Just get a little bit cleaner. One of the things that drives my wife nuts is, I'm just saying, is I whenever we're eating, I won't watch anything super serious. It's got to be super dumb. Because that's me. That's my spirit. That's who I am. And so the idea behind this is for us, it's even shameful to mention it, what these people are doing. It's horrible. And they're doing much worse things than you even think because they're trying to get you to approve of them. I was like, no, you got to build a wall there and go, nope, not coming in. Okay? All right. So the answer, by the way, to the question, Herodias was the answer to who wanted John the Baptist's head on a platter. All right, take a break. Come back. Next section is really cool. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, and we'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
is the David Spoon Experience?
Or the president of Focus on the Family. When you got that position, I'm talking the initial moment that you knew you were getting that position, were you thinking, what?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Given my background, I was going, no, no, no. In fact, I got home, said to my wife, Jean, this is what I've been asked today. And she looked at me and said, who would have thunk it? That summed it up. That was that entire day. I was just like, oh my goodness. My wife and I used to pray for the poor guy coming behind Dr. Dobson.
Now you were praying for yourself. You didn't even know it.
That's exactly right. Does he have a sense of humor or what?
That's great stuff. Excellent material and an excellent interview, Jim. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and I just want to thank you from my whole heart just for all the work that you're doing, for the people that you're blessing, and for this project that you guys have been working on Irreplaceable. Nice job.
Thanks, David.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know if you want to reach us, same way, text 214-210-8483. Some of you out there might be saying, why do you repeat the number? Because some people who are not used to texting need to hear the number multiple times, and we want to help them. Speaking of which, I have another trivia question, a little easier in an answer, but a little longer as you text it. Here we go. You need to finish this beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they... I'm stopping right there. Blessed are the meek, for they... And you got to fill in the blank, send that as a text. 214-210-8483. See, we have multiple choice. We have everything. That's what we're doing. Okay, 214-210-8483. Fill in the blank. Okay, blessed are the meek, for they... Okay. Website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. Email, David, hemustincrease.org. David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. And YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. So I do want to let you know my neighbor was cutting the yard right by us, so you might hear some noise. I can't do nothing about that, but that's right. We have fantastic neighbors. We don't really care. Let's get into the last two verses. I'll read all the verses, and we'll just fire into the last two. Ephesians 5, verse 10. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Verse 13 and 14 is our section now. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. That's why it said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Here is an essential response to darkness. We talked about that we find out what pleases the Lord. We talked about not being connected to the fruitless deeds of darkness, not to be removed from people, or you'd have to leave the planet. We talked about it's shameful even to mention them. I mean, there's too many people that glorify these shameful deeds, and there's too many Christians that put up with that and allow that in their lives. We got to cut that out. But then verse 13 says, everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. Here's an amazing concept. Ready? Here it is. Ready? Ready? What do you do when it's dark? This is the kind of thinking I have. This is the kind of thinking that I'm stuck in. What do I do when it's dark? I turn on a light. Why? So I can see. Because if I don't, I'll be what? Stuck in the darkness. You guys don't know this about me, and I'm not going to let my wife come on the radio and testify about me, but I am exceedingly clumsy in the dark, okay? Not kind of clumsy in the dark. I'm the guy that will walk across the room, and if there is a small brick in the corner of the room and it's dark, my foot will find it. Okay? That's me. I'm that guy. I'm fine when it's light. I'm horrible when it's dark. Well, when there's darkness around, the way to take care of it is to turn the light on. You got to get the light on. It's just that, I mean, it's that forward. It's that straightforward. I mean, this is what it is. When the light of Christ shows up, sin becomes evident. So I'll give you a good example, okay? Everybody thought the Pharisees were just super duper spiritual people. Even the disciples at first. But Jesus shows up and through his teaching and his truth reproves and rebukes the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And all of a sudden the Pharisees' light looks a little different and has a little different tint. And the reproof puts evil in the light and it shows the true character of what's going on. We are light. Okay, Jesus is the light of the world, and we're the little lights, right? So when I say that, understand what I'm saying. Jesus is the light, and we're a part of that light. And in people's lives, you want to be a part of that light. Does that mean that everything you say and do is going to exactly reflect like Jesus? No. I'm pretty sure you all know that's kind of goofy, okay? But the attachment to this verse is be light. When there's a lot of darkness, be light. Light is a good thing to be. Light opens it up for people to see. Light gives people a pathway to go through. It gives them an ability not to stumble, not to trip over things, not to break their legs while they're walking, or trip over a gate when you're walking through your front door. Here's the bottom line. We are light. Do we shine? We are light. The only honest, evaluative question is, do we shine? Do we give off some form of radiance? Verse 14 is connected to verse 13, where it says, light makes everything visible. That's why it said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Do we shine because Jesus has shined on us? Now, for those that are wondering, kind of getting a little into the weeds, but this is the kind of stuff I kind of like. When we're talking about this, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you, this is not a direct quotation from the Old Testament. There is some nuance there from Isaiah 60, verse 1, and maybe Isaiah 9, 2, and 26, 19, maybe. There's none of this in any kind of apocryphal book. Okay, really important to understand that some quotations can be there, nothing like that, okay? There is a strong basis of belief that this is an early baptismal hymn from the earlier church. Maybe, that's the answer. Could be, I don't know. The rhythm seems to be borrowed. It seems to be like something that somebody would do in kind of a liturgical chant kind of mentality. So maybe, okay. But the key component here is catching this. People think that this was said in the earlier church when a baptism was taking place because of the enlightenment, the photomosis kind of process, or the shine, the epiphaneo. Here's the big part about it. It says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. If you break it down, okay, which, you know, that's what I'm going to do, right? A sleeper is somebody who doesn't get what's going on, doesn't know the spiritual stuff, doesn't clueless. Okay, that's me before I heard the gospel. Okay? And then it says, wake up. So you're like, what? What's going on? Oh, there's a kingdom of God. There's a kingdom of darkness, and you want to be in the kingdom of God. And the way to do that is through Jesus Christ. And then it says, rise from the dead, and this is you being born again. And then Christ will shine on you, and you will have a shine. It's kind of like, here's a great illustration, fantastic illustration. Moses spent so much time with God that the reflection of the glory of God was so strong on Moses, he had to put a veil on his face because the children of Israel couldn't even look at the dude because he was so bright. He was like neon lights blaring everywhere. And they were like, okay, put a mask on. Okay, put a veil over your face because this is crazy stuff. But see, that's what happens when you spend time in Christ. you become a reflector, and it shines. And so I think it's kind of cool if it is an early baptismal kind of thing that people would say. I think that's cool. I don't know if it's a fact. There's a couple of dissertations on it, but it's like, meh, you don't know. It's wake up, got that. Stop sleeping. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead. You're new in Christ. Live that way, okay? You're new. You can live in the new you. And Christ will shine on you. And the result of that is that light will reflect to other places and to other people. And it's like, oh, you mean this whole thing is like us being shining. Like, yeah, not shining the movie where it's all crazy. Shining is in a really... You know what's really, you take a car, if you're a car person, and you, okay, so you have a car, and then you got wax on it. That was a hiccup, by the way, in case you didn't figure that out. And you get the strong wax on it, you buff it out, and what's the one way you know the car is super, super done, super, super shiny? You can see yourself in it. You go up to it, so bright, the reflection, you can see yourself. Well, you want to get so close to Jesus that it's like you've been waxed and buffed, and then people can see the reflection. See what I'm saying? We are the light. I mean, come on. That's so cool. Now, stop being guilty. Don't let the devil sit on the other side of your shoulder go, well, you're not a very good light. First of all, nobody's a very good light. We can only do it step by step and growth by growth and piece by piece. But it's proper to come before the Lord and say, make me a better light. Make me a better reflection. The radiance of Jesus, it tells us exactly who God is and all about. Pray that you can be a radiance of Jesus Christ. That's what it says. That's what it's all about. Ephesians 5, 10 through 14, as difficult as it is telling you, be a reflector. I don't know if you've ever had a bicycle, but when light hits a reflector, you can see it. Right? It's like, oh, there it is. That's what you want to be. That stuff's the coolest stuff in the world. Okay. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And if you know the joke is, well, that's good. They ought to get something. Here is what we're going to close with. I want you to let you know how much I love and appreciate everybody out there. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Most of my life it feels like I've been running, running.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.